sounds kind of illogical to judge one game on 4 years. We said that this team is going to be judged on what we do at the World Cup. So that's fine.
Louis van Gaal ate Greg Berhalter's lunch. Very naive that you could think that going into a game with a team like the Netherlands, you were going to have more quality on the ball. They let you have it.
Yeah.
How do you evaluate your own performance?
You know, I don't think it's time for me to evaluate my own performance.
Americas, underway from the Qatari capital of Doha. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebi Salazar. What you got there? Nah, the shirt underneath. Yeah, I like it. I like those colors.
Argent accent or action going on right here.
Yeah, little Norwich City. The Canaries, a nice shout out. I got the old school jerseys. And the...
Shit, sorry.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No sting. Football Americas underway from the Qatari capital of Doha. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend, hopefully with friends and family, and you're getting ready for 2023. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebi Salazar. We are back for more. What you rocking today?
A little Josh Sargent action.
Ooh.
Some of the most action he's seen here in Qatar.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, I was a little sad about it.
Yes, canary colors.
Well to that ankle.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Shout out Norwich City. Okay, I got the old school jerseys here.
Ooh,
again, another shout out to Tifosi. Just great gear. And then, oof, I just love this clean U.S. jacket. I think it's this 2006. It wasn't your year, right? It wasn't 2010. I think it was 06.
It might have been 06, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so on the last show here on Football Americas, we did a look ahead to 2026 with the Mexico roster.
It was rough.
It was rough. There
for
was
me.
A lot. There was
I
a
mean,
lot of yelling
I,
back and forth.
Yeah.
It was rough for me.
You were angry with me.
It was a lot of homework. It took me a long time.
Right.
You said it only took you 10 minutes to
it
do
did.
This one, so it should probably only take us 10 minutes then to do this show, right?
Probably.
No. Of course, there are big expectations for the U.S. come the 2026 World Cup, where we know a majority of that tournament will indeed be played in the United States. So, as we did with Mexico, why don't we start with a look at the 2022 World Cup roster for the U.S. men's national team. And quite the opposite of Mexico, who was the second oldest team in the tournament. The U.S. was the second youngest team at this tournament. And if not for the addition of Tim Ream, would have been the youngest.
It's true.
Here at the World Cup in Qatar. So there's the 26-man roster as it was made up for this tournament. Now, Herc, the first, and in many ways the toughest part of this, is the cuts. Now, with Mexico, there's a lot of old guys, so you figure if you're not cutting them, they're just retiring. You've had to make some cuts here. We'll start with the goalie and defenders. You're letting Ethan Horvath and Sean Johnson go. Okay, so we're gonna have two new goalies. I'm very interested to see that. And then as far as defenders, Tim Ream, Aaron Long, Walker Zimmerman. Okay. Shaq Moore and DeAndre Yedlin are all off the team for you in 2026. Of those that we're looking at right there, I guess let's start maybe with Walker Zimmerman. Was that the toughest cut for you of that group?
By far the toughest.
Because, okay.
Yeah, because he's a player that could easily still be there playing. And he'll have a World Cup under his belt. But
right.
it's age, and it's also who I think is coming back with the likes of Miles Robinson and what he could be like after that Achilles tear.
Okay.
Yes, what he could be like.
Okay.
So I'm banking on that.
I just remember how an ACL was a career ender, but now an Achilles tear is no problem.
Got it. Jota Macias wasn't the best in his position for the national team.
Okay, we'll see.
Miles Robinson was the best in his position for the national team. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, that's why I started. I was assumed next to Walker Zimmerman.
Right.
Right.
But who was the number one CB when everybody was healthy?
It was the two of them. That was the pairing.
Who was the best center back in the program?
If you think it's Miles Robinson, say that.
You don't think it's Miles Robinson?
I don't think there was
oh my God.
That much of a
don't
distance
argue just to argue.
Okay. I'm not. You've started an argument.
That's fine. Because of Miles Robinson.
Do a show in this case. Impossible. Do your spiel.
Because of Miles Robinson, Chris Richards, and a few other young center backs in that pool, it became a numbers game. And it really was probably the most difficult decision out of anybody in the pool. And when you look at how Walker Zimmerman did, he didn't necessarily do anything bad per se. He had a few shaky passes.
The penalty.
A few shaky passes, if you will, in group play. The penalty, which I think he got put into a very difficult position of having to trying to absorb and absorb and absorb defensively. Commits that penalty kick right there. He finds himself on the outside looking in.
Right.
But you know how this goes, Seb. And we've said it many times before. This is one of my fringe players right there. Even though he's had a good qualifying campaign, it's just when it came to the World Cup, out of the center backs who played, if you had to rank them, if you will, one, two, three, he probably would have came in third.
Behind Cameron Carter-Vickers, because you're clearly putting Tim Ream at number one there, right?
No. Tim Ream's going to – in World Cup play, apologies.
So let me just ask you this real quick on Zimmerman, because it doesn't seem like you're really down on him. You're saying, hey, the other younger guys I think will come for those positions, maybe those starting positions.
Yeah.
Is there a value in having an – Walker Zimmerman with another 4 years experience and World Cup experience as a backup? Because I think that's, you know, some guys you say, well, we can't take you if you're not going to be a starter because you're not going to be happy. I don't think that's the case with Walker Zimmerman. He seems to be like a grade A teammate.
He is a grade A teammate.
Could you see him having like a backup role there and maybe make the team in that way?
I could. And that's the way he made this team to begin with. If you remember, it was the Gold Cup. He wasn't playing. And it was Donovan Pines. It was actually Walker Zimmerman getting injured that brought him out of the Gold Cup, and that's when the U.S. men's national team started suffering, but he was part of that backup crew. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's a player that's still in this pipeline, still in this program, sure. still in this pool. But after what I saw from Cameron Carter-Vickers, and right. it wasn't a player I was very high on, to be right. quite honest, these are the moments where players make their careers yep. on this type of platform. I think Cameron Carter-Vickers had a exceptionally well coming out party.
Yep, and he's playing in Europe, which, you know, I think always gives you that yes. little bit of an edge. All right, so those are the goalie and defensive cuts that we just saw from Hercules Gomez. Let's move up the field, and we'll focus in now on the midfield and forward cuts. And there are some names here. Hercules Gomez, Kellen Acosta, Christian Roldan, maybe not shockers there. Luca Della Torre, who you have loved for a long time, my man.
This one hurts.
Forward, Jesus Ferreira's gone. Okay, that's a young player who's not coming back. Jordan Morris, not coming back either.
Not you right.
All right, let's start with Luca Della Torre. You said it was painful, so why'd you do it?
So, he didn't get any minutes this World Cup, and to me, not only was that a surprise, but it hurt. I think this is a player who's got exceptional vision. From that deep line midfielder position. Not exactly your most athletic. He's never been. Mm-hmm. But he's a very good player. He struggled in La Liga. Mm-hmm. Didn't play in this World Cup. The lead up to it, I'm talking about Japan, Saudi Arabia, was probably not his finest moment.
Right.
And when I think about when Yunus Musa is inoperative, and he wasn't there for that game. But let's assume he's not operative one game. For whatever reason, it's just not his day. Weston McKennie. You know, Tyler Adams, who can give you that quality? When I thought it was Luca Della Torre, yeah. it's when he most struggled. That's really where he struggled. And Luca has a few things going for him, but in that game, I realized you need somebody else in that backup role, even if it is a backup role, with a different skill set that you could think could unlock a defense. And sometimes it needs to be on the dribble. Sometimes it needs to be at pace. And I don't think that's Luca right now. It doesn't mean he can't still be there. And the reason it hurts is because I like my players with a bit of an edge.
Yes.
I like my players to want to be there, to care about that. I like my players who answer back. I mean,
yes.
when I interviewed him, I said, you know, it's crazy to me. And I was trying to give him a compliment.
Yeah.
How there was a player who scored 4 goals in a game. And I said you were the best player on the field, and you didn't even have an assist that game. And he goes, right. "Oh no, I had an assist."
right.
He forgot everything I was talking yeah. about, and just saying, "No, man, I had an assist." You know, I love that. I love that. I want that mentality. But I think we've missed Luca
right.
in these last 8 months, if you will.
Yeah, the move didn't
the
exactly
didn't
go
help.
As he. And there was an injury too.
There was an injury. But even when he's been there, when he's been given the opportunity, it wasn't quite what I thought I would be. And because of the other players in this pool, and we'll get to them,
yeah.
I just thought maybe it merited an opportunity for somebody else.
99.99% yeah. sure you were yeah. that he would get a start. I believe we made a bet, one
we
I have
did.
Not yet collected on.
Well, I'm still waiting on my Serbia
I don't even remember what you're talking about. Let's talk about Jesus Ferreira. This one was an interesting one for
yes.
me. I guess I'm not so shocked that you cut him. I just think
I cut him for the forwards. Listen to what I'm saying.
Ah, okay. Explain.
So I don't see Jesus Ferreira as a 9. I know he scored a bunch of goals. I believe it was 16 with FC Dallas. He's not a 9 to me. I actually think he's got maybe a future at the club level, maybe in Europe, somewhere in the midfield. If a team plays with a double 10 or if they could play with more aggressive 8, I think that's going to be his better position. I don't see him as a 9, and I feel bad for him because I think he gets a bad rep mm-hmm. for being cast into the camp of one of Greg's boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these guys get a very bad rep, and they don't deserve it.
Is it Greg's boys, or is it just kind of a system fit? Maybe you're saying the same thing, but it's very
thing.
Much like false 9.
It's the same thing.
So do you have to come up with a better false 9 option, or you just hope that the next coach won't do that?
I hope the next coach won't do that. I hope the next coach...
Or if it's Berhalter again, kind of changes
and
his
I
ways.
Will say this again when we talk about the forwards. People seem to think the U.S. men's national team has a forward problem. Go and find a striker. Go find a forward. You don't have a forward problem. You have a system problem. You have a head coach problem.
Yeah.
It can't be that Josh Sargent is scoring goals. It can't be that Haji Wright is scoring goals.
Pepe,
Jordan
Sargent.
Pifak is scoring goals.
Yeah.
Pepe scoring goals. Ferreira scoring goals.
And you have a problem. Mexico would love
Vasquez
to have those
scoring
problems.
Goals, and you've got a forward problem. You don't have a forward problem. You have a coaching problem. You have a system problem. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hope people realize that.
Mm-hmm.
These players score goals. You've got more goal scorers today than you've ever had. That's a reality. It's about the system you deploy. I hope the next coach actually tries to get his 9 to score goals.
Yeah. I could see Fedeta having a role. You say maybe it's like a 10. Like if they went to a 4-2-3-1 and
right.
you had three guys behind that one striker, I could see it. Let's move on, but let's stick with the strikers. And it's not a guy you cut. It's actually a guy you left on that was a little bit of a surprise to me, both in that you left him on and that he was on this team at all.
Right.
And that's Haji Wright. What was the decisive factor there for you?
Listen, World Cup, we were talking about Haji Wright going to Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Big teams
yep.
are looking at this guy.
Yep.
In Turkey, he's been lighting up for the last two seasons. This is a player, for all intents and purposes, is a goal scorer. Those
yep.
players are valuable. Forgive me for not giving up on a player who's been part of the U.S. Men's National Team pipeline
yep.
for all his life.
Yep.
Who just scored a World Cup goal, by the way.
An amazing World Cup goal.
I don't know how
one.
He scored it. He probably doesn't know how he scored it, but he scored a World Cup goal.
You know what he did? He got into a dangerous spot, like you always say.
I meant to be dangerous.
Yep.
I know people aren't high on him, but I go back to, we don't have a forward problem. The U.S. does not have a forward problem. They have a coaching problem. They have a system problem. I think Haji Wright can be productive, and I'm not ready to give up on a player with that goal-scoring ability who Greg Berhalter said his profile was physical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him as a physical profile. I think he's got a little bit more finesse to that game. And he's still a goal scorer, all types of goal.
Totally.
Head, right foot, left foot, speed, you know, hold up play. Regardless of what you think he had or didn't have in this World Cup, I'm not ready to give up on a player like that who's already has a World Cup goal to his name.
Yes, let's get to the depth chart. Okay, because that's really what matters as we look ahead to 2026. And we'll start our look at the depth chart, same way we started our cuts, no? Starting at the back and moving our way forward. So your goalies, Matt Turner, Zach Steffen, Gaga Slonina, very interesting. Left back, Anthony Robinson, and a name we saw on the last show, only from Mexico, Jonathan Gomez. Left center back, Miles Robinson, Austin Trustee, I like that one. Right center back, Chris Richards, and Cameron Carter-Vickers. And then at right back, you got Serginho Dest and Joe Skelly. So not a lot of change there.
You got any problems?
I don't.
With this list.
Well,
I know you have problems.
Yeah, I have problems. I got a lot of problems. Well, let me start with Slonina. I want to kind of drill down on that decision. Do you think he'll actually, I mean, you've got him here third in the depth chart, but this is a player who very soon could be.
Oh, it's not a depth chart. It's just a name on there.
Okay, so you think he might be a starter? You think he's got a shot?
Right now, it's Matt Turner's to lose.
Okay.
That's how I feel. But if he goes to Chelsea and he's in that pipeline, and I don't mean being loaned out.
Right.
I mean at Chelsea.
But he's got time. Like, he could go on an 18-month loan now and be back at Chelsea.
How many times have we seen that Chelsea loan for players like Ulises Davila, for players like Matt Miazga?
Right.
For certain players,
yeah.
for Vitesse, where it's, you know.
It's a loan club a lot of times. They just gather talent.
Yes.
They're a business
talent.
Almost.
They acquire assets.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. If that's the case for him, it does him no good.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say he's in the Chelsea setup like Matt Turner is right now at Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's Matt Turner's to lose. But if Matt Turner isn't playing,
yes.
you told me he's
yes.
got to play. You told me the starting goalkeeper for the U.S. Men's National Team has to play.
I would like Matt Turner, if he's going to be truly the one in 2026, I don't think it will be because he's been the number two at Arsenal for the next 3.5 years. I think you don't agree with me there?
Producer, they selling him? You're an Arsenal fan. They selling him? Not in January.
He says not going to sell him in January. That doesn't mean they might not loan him out at some point or that he may not push for a move, right?
Okay.
We know Matt Turner's an ambitious guy. When he was in New England Revolution, he said, no, I want to go to Arsenal. That's like what I want. He's an ambitious guy. I would assume that would also mean maybe he wants to be a starter eventually,
but
not just for the national team.
Crazy intangibles and such a high ceiling. We saw him struggle in Major League Soccer, but I truly feel you need that. You need that. You need to struggle.
Okay.
That's the only way you get better is by failing. People might think you're crazy or I'm crazy when I say that, but that is the only way for young players to get better. You learn from those things. Gaga could be the next starter in 2026, but Matt Turner will tell you over his dead body.
Okay. Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, they're your two starting center backs. What do you like most about that pairing?
I didn't say they were my starting center backs.
Oh, okay. Who are your starting center backs?
Well, those are the two players to me with the most talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality. It's an open field. I think they have the edge on everybody. Chris Richards, he's not a left-footed player,
mm-hmm.
but does play on the left-hand side. Technical, good athleticism, needs to stay healthy. I think it's going to be important for him. He's a player that I'm banking on. Miles Robinson, I know we've argued about this, but I feel he was the top center back in the program.
Mm-hmm. What about Cameron Carter-Vickers? Because you've also said that he had a great, you know, you've rated him second out of the three center backs that we saw here at the World Cup. He's not in there for you?
Could he push a starter?
Could he push one of those guys?
Oh, he's absolutely pushing a starter. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because he's already in Europe. And I know, you say what you will about it being Celtic, you still get some high-quality games when you go into Champions League and when you play Rangers and whatnot. He's in an atmosphere where you're only going to go
matters.
From that. It's a platform.
Yep.
We've seen jumps from Celtic and Rangers elsewhere. This is a player that could go on elsewhere, could do something. But if we're just going off of what I feel is ceiling, those are my two right now. It's Chris Richards, Miles Robinson.
Okay, quick word on Jonathan Gomez, who we both have in our 2026 squads. Me for Mexico, you for the United States.
Yeah, I just think this is a player that needs games, whether that's U20, U23, full national team, besides club, for his development.
Yep.
He's not going to get those with Mexico. That's a reality. And I really think that may influence his decision if he goes to the U.S. men's national team or not, is, hey, there's a U20 tournament coming up, U20 World Cup, and then there's an Olympics. I could be part of both those programs. I think that may weigh on him a lot.
If there was a strength for this U.S. team at the World Cup, it was, I think we would agree, for once, the midfield, right? So why don't we take a look at what the prospective depth chart would be for the midfield and forward lines for the U.S. at the 2026 World Cup, according to one Hercules Gomez. And we got some interesting names here, right? Of course, McKinney, Musa, Adams, all there and all number one in the depth chart, according to Herc. Johnny Cardozo, okay. Malik Tillman, Georgi Mihailovic, I like it. Right wing, Tim Weah, Gio Reyna. Ooh, you got Reyna behind Weah. Left wing, we got Pulisic and Brendan Aaronson. Striker, he got three. How come he got three choices? I only got two. Pepe, Sargent, and the aforementioned Haji Wright. Let's start with Johnny Cardozo then. That's an interesting one for me, because you are going to have a Tyler Adams backup, my God, with the amount that he runs. And the way that he plays, you know, picks up yellows, I think, not a lot, but in a long tournament run, maybe you do need to dip into that position. So what do you like about Cardozo?
Everything. I know he's not played much, but you don't play for a team like Internacional in Brazil if you're not a good player. Technically sound, strong on the ball, likes to get in there. He's a player that I think manages the tempo. He can speed it up, he can slow it down. It's a different style than probably this pool has been used to. I think it could be beneficial. He's a player that I think has a lot of room for growth, and we've seen what Brazil can do for these players.
Totally.
I mean, this is the breeding ground for Europe. It really is. So he's a player that I see going on to bigger and better very soon, but he's just something different. He's something you don't normally see, and it's something I think at times is lacking. Like Kellen Acosta, he will move on because of his age, but the one thing Kellen Acosta brought was that element of when things get nasty, things get dirty.
Right. Gamesmanship.
Not only gamesmanship, but I feel in this element.
Right.
I can do this.
I like it. I like it here in the mud. Yeah.
I think Johnny's got a little bit of that in him as well.
Johnny Cardozo, by the way, linked to a bunch of teams in Europe. Valencia, Betis, Roma, and Serie A. So just to confirm your point, there is a lot of interest over there. Malik Tillman, he's already over there. What do you like about him? And I don't know if you were disappointed, but you were shocked that he didn't make the team.
I was almost certain he was going to make the team, because I figured if you
thought there was kind of a deal already, right?
Sort of, yeah, almost, I would say, if you will, an understanding, because he commits the U.S. men's national team just before this World Cup. Greg brings him in, and to me, all signs were pointing that he's going to get there. He goes to Rangers, he just doesn't get hot soon
enough.
Right
time, right?
Soon enough.
Yep.
He started getting hot right before, and I think they may have forced Greg's hand. Greg decided to go a different way, but you could see, I mean, during the World Cup, all we're doing is talking about Malik Tillman's goals, his assist. This guy, we knew about his technical ability. Yep. We knew about the ability to get in between tight spaces and make something out of nothing. We didn't know about the end product until now. And I think that's been a very, very pleasant surprise. He's a player that I think will continue to grow. I don't see Rangers being a final destination by the time it's 2026.
Yeah. So, of course, represented Germany at the youth national team level. To the point about Rangers, his loan is coming up. The manager has come out and said, you know, I want this guy, but Bayern Munich still owns him. We'll see kind of how that plays out. But clearly he's played his way into, if not another better deal at Rangers, which, as you said, is still a club that gets important games.
Yeah.
Maybe a potential big move somewhere else. All right, let's talk the Pepe train. Derailed before this World Cup, but right on time for 2026. Talk to me about Ricardo Pepe, the pride of El Paso.
I hope Ricardo Pepe takes all this bad juju and converts it into fuel.
It's there crazy. He'll only be 23. I feel like we've been talking about him forever.
There is no more disrespected player out of this World Cup than Ricardo Pepe. When you think about it, This is a player that, as a teenager, saved the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, of a national team, saved his job, was the second leading goal scorer, only behind the face of the program. Mm-hmm. Okay? And at the advisement of the head coach of the national team, mm-hmm. goes to the Bundesliga, a club that the head coach said, this could be for you. Mm-hmm. $20 million as a teenager doesn't go your way. You get out of there, go to the Eredivisie.
And you score.
And you score. And you score. And you score. And you score. I'm back, baby. You're going to the World Cup. Guess what? You're not. To be able to sit there, eat it, know that a team you helped get there is there without you, must have ate him up inside. I hope he uses that. I hope he keeps that for the rest of his career inside of him. This is a player that has finishing ability. He does well in combination play in the final third. He's got a bit of nastiness to him. Mm. He knows exactly who he is. He's unapologetic for it. And he still has a place in this national team setup.
Okay, so we've seen the depth chart, which pretty much gets us, in your case, to 23, 24 players. But we are assuming it's going to be a 26-player roster for the next World Cup. So why don't we take a look then at what some of the new faces, some new names that you want to bring in to this program and to this team ahead of what is effectively a home World Cup. Ooh, okay.
Go ahead, Flo.
Okay, one name that is very familiar to us, not Brendan Aaronson, Paxton Aaronson, his younger brother, and Valerian Balogun, who... of course, is on loan with Rams right now in the French league, but is a player for Arsenal, right? He's on the books at Arsenal. Who do you want to talk about first, Balogun? Because that's the
good
position. That's the nine, right?
That's the nine, right?
Is he the solution
for
you?
And if you noticed, I took four nines.
Yeah.
Unlike certain national team coaches that shall,
Greg Berhalter, Tata Martino,
that shall not be named.
Yes.
From what I've seen of him, his movement is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about next level movement. Hit the ball, right foot, left foot, very technical. I will repeat on the movement. I was a player of movement, okay? Players of movement have to know their surroundings. They have to be, and I'm not saying I was of a certain intelligence, but you have to be intelligent in and around the box.
Could you see him starting?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
You've seen enough already, you kind of feel like, you're saying kind of, you're projecting.
The projection.
Right.
Not right now. The projection. And we've got to be respectful to players who have been there and whatnot. But the projection tells me, like, this kid, his trajectory, if he chooses the U.S., if and when he chooses the U.S., he could be something special.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough, his loan, scored a few goals there. Yep. Now his loan in Ligue 1, he's scoring for fun. And he scored in half the games he's been in, I believe.
8 goals in 15 through the first half of the season.
He's a player that a lot of people are high on. Scouts in Europe, scouts that brought him to Ligue 1 in the Arsenal setup. They've compared him to Ian Wright in Ian Wright's moment. He's different. Mm-hmm. He's already bred in Europe. It's a player that I think could be game ready by the time 2026 comes about.
He's, of course, repped England at the youth national team level, but we've seen his Instagram. He definitely follows what the U.S. Men's national team is doing. Quick thought on Paxton Aaronson. You want two Aaronsons on your 2026 roster?
I love what Brendan Aaronson gives me and what
I've seen. It's not a like for like there? You think they're different enough?
I think Paxton's very much more technical.
Okay.
And maybe not as gritty. Okay. That's no offense to him.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more grit in Brendan's game. I think Paxton's a lot more clean in what he does. He's a player that's shifty. He's a player that's probably more of a actual 10 than Brendan really ever was. He's a player that I think you could slot into the midfield or the wing. But I like what I've seen from him at such a young age. And that's really what it is. I'm projecting that the growth will continue, that the ceiling will get higher.
He's, of course... heading to Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. And one more note on Balogun. We mentioned this during the show earlier. Not this show, but other shows here. We talked to Julien Laurent, who, of course, our French colleague for ESPN.
He loves him.
Covers everything in France football and had very high things to say about him. Okay, so you've picked your team. Now let me pick some snubs, and maybe we can see which one of them you think has the strongest case, because we don't have too much time left here. I got Mark McKenzie. At some point, I thought you were pretty high on Caden Clark, who is young and I mean, his club is RB Leipzig. It sounds like he's actually going to end up on a loan somewhere else in Europe first. Okay. And then Jordan Pefock. So what do you think of those? And we'll start with McKenzie.
Okay. Mark McKenzie, we did the Road to Qatar series with Sam Borden. I thought he was probably the best interview.
Oh, really?
Okay. While he was. Yeah, I think he's an incredibly smart individual. Since the Mexico game, I've not seen this Mark McKenzie that I was sold on.
Okay.
He had that air where Tecatito Corona stripped him and then scored a goal early on. He's a player that I'd like to see more out of when it comes into possession, because that's supposedly what he's good at. Physically, I've seen him outmatched at a few times that he's played at the CONCACAF level. I'm not saying he's out, but right now in this 23 going on 26, I don't see him in.
Okay.
He's one of those players to me that's going to have to be in form and somebody's going to have to limp out.
Okay. You went with Paxton Aaronson as kind of your, I think, maybe like...
Projection
player. I'm going with Caden Clark. I just like the fact that at 19, he's already made the jump. Again, not yet to a Bundesliga team. He's been bought by one. I don't think he's going to play there at first.
And brought back to the Metro.
He was sold, then came back on. Never left, really. Was
right.
Kept on loan. But now he is. The plan is to go over to Europe in the coming year. And again, I'm telling you, from all the reports, there's teams in Germany, Holland, okay, etc., that are interested in him on a loan deal from Leipzig.
Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. I am a huge Caden Clark fan.
Okay.
Okay. I'm hoping he hasn't bought what he's being sold.
Ooh.
About the European talk. This year, under 500 minutes, okay, started 3 games. This is a player, and I don't agree with Greg Berhalter on a lot of things.
Yes.
I don't want him to dominate. I want him to participate. Okay?
You don't think he was ready yet?
He didn't participate this season.
Right.
Stover, whatever you want, the coach, whatever you want, didn't value, didn't rate you. You need to at least participate.
Yeah. Some might say the same about Paxton Aaronson to a different level, right? It's a guy who, you know, I was surprised.
Well, what did he do at the U-20 level?
Totally, but I was surprised.
CONCACAF best player.
I was surprised that Paxton got the jump move to Eintracht Frankfurt.
Right.
I thought maybe another a year would have been good. Jordan Pefock, for me, who was a player that you screamed a lot about not being included in 2022.
Right.
No problem.
29.
No problem to leave him off in 2026. I mean, you think he's going to stop scoring goals? And
he's the only one who hasn't stopped scoring goals, if we're being honest.
That's what I'm saying.
But when you look at this group,
I mean, 29 still prime, right?
Yeah, of course it is.
So
of course it is. He can still make
30.
It. And it's probably a huge disrespect that I have him out right now, if I'm being honest, because he's never really cooled down. You could say what you want. Oh, he got injured. He stopped scoring for a few games. But he's the one player out of everybody in the pool that they've had who's really been consistent with his goal scoring. He really is. But even then, I'm not sold as much. I'm not sold on as much, and I'd rather roll the dice and see.
I get the point.
What
right?
other players have.
And in 2-3 years, if Balogun's chosen England and Pefock's still slamming home goals, you're obviously going to include him because it's clear that you rate the player. All right, so that'll do it for this edition of Football Americas. We got Herc one more show in this calendar year,
like,
and we are going out with a bang. The top 50 goals of 2022 on Thursday's edition of Football Americas. For Hercules Gomez, producer Beto, our entire production team, I'm Sebi. We'll see ya on Thursday.